miss, or dis. What is dis? Depends. This is a news according to me. Well, good morning. Or after, what is this? This is afternoon, Monday. I believe Eastern Standard Time, it's 4:16 right now as I'm recording this. A lot of, it's Monday, by the way. Monday, January 31st, last day of January. The month, the year is almost over already. It's a fine day today. I am in Appleton, Wisconsin, as I speak here. I'm actually in Central Time, so it's only 3:30 or 3:15 here. It's 4:15 where you possibly might be, or someplace else. It's always something somewhere. It's always something. I've been listening to a lot to this talk about misinformation, and unfortunately, it has nothing to do with what's in my cup. I want to tell you about what's in my cup today. I don't actually even have a cup today. I've got a thermos. And in my thermos is some sweet tea from, of all places, Chick-fil-A. It's good stuff. I rolled into town, got myself a couple of large sweet teas from Chick-fil-A here. That tied me over. And unfortunately, I don't have much left. I've got about half of a large sweet tea left. Since I've been here since Saturday. And I'm working my way through it. Speaking of working my way, I've started a new exercise regimen. I'm actually exercising now. I figure I'm at that age where I probably should start staying in shape. I know round is a shape. There's many multiple shapes. If you look at me, you can try to see lots of shapes. But I'm trying to get in a particular shape, I guess. One that's not as unhealthy as what I had been in. So I'm trying to get kind of juiced up. I got a vacation coming up here in April. I'm trying to get in shape for that because I want to be able to enjoy myself and not, you know, just wallow around like a jellyfish. So I want to try to actually enjoy myself. Feel good and fit. Be able to enjoy activities. I've got almost the whole month of April off. And in fact, I might as well tell you folks now, those of you who are addicted to this program, you might be wanting to find some kind of a, substitute, some kind of synthetic that you can fill in for a couple months, a couple weeks, I guess it is, not a couple months. I wish it was a couple months. For a couple of weeks in order to fill that need that you might have to listen to the show. I'll try to actually by that point I might have my new podcast going. I'm hoping to by that point. And a lot of that information in the new podcast, it's going to be called The Conspiracy. A lot of that content will actually be pre-recorded because it's just stories that are kind of done in the past. But the weekly program, there will be a weekly program that actually will have some fresh material or live material talking about current events a little bit once a week. That's the plan, is to do that. So I'm hoping that we can, I can get that stuff done. I'm hoping to kind of do a lot of those recordings actually here before too long. And yeah, so that's kind of what's happening at this point. But I digress. There's a big difference between misinformation and disinformation. Now, I understand that the news media lately has been talking about a lot about misinformation, and of course the big tech companies are trying to say that there's a lot of misinformation out there. Surprisingly enough, in the process of doing that, they're actually giving you misinformation, or I would say disinformation. And the reason I'm saying that is because they basically are not even telling you exactly they're not even giving you proper information when it comes to mis and disinformation. You see, disinformation is intentional. Is intentionally informing you something that's not true. Misinformation is when you make a mistake. When you say something that was misspoken or spoken out of context or just, you know, misinformed. Disinformation is when there is an intentional, purposeful attempt to disinform you. In other words, to inform you, give you false information. The news media does this almost obsessively. And they will accuse certain people of misinformation. And they're going to censor you because of it or cancel you because of it. Boot you out of certain platforms. And a month later, we find out that that information was true. Because they're not fact-checking you. They're opinion-checking you. This happens apparently a lot. And now they finally started to admit that that's what they've been doing. They're not really fact-checking you. They're opinion-checking you. You have a wrong opinion. They really are the thought police, basically, at this point. I mean, George Orwell's 1984 is alarmingly more accurate than we ever wanted to, more prophetic than we ever wanted to know. It was based on ideas from other socialist countries. You have to keep in mind that the Nazi Party, Nazi stood for the National Socialist Party of Germany. We hear about that a lot. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit. I was having some musings, some thoughts about the whole Nazi thing. You know, because that's when you think of a bad person, you know, who are those bad people in the world that you've thought of? Who would those people be if you thought of somebody that's really just really evil? Well, Hitler's one of those people that come to mind, usually, typically. Really bad guy. You might think of Pol Pot. You might think of Mao Zedong is actually glorified, lifted up, and idolized by some people, including Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton actually thought he was just an awesome guy. So we have these issues with some of this stuff. So I was having these thoughts about the evil people that we, you know, people we think of as bad people that have been on the planet. Of course, there are those who are infamous. There are those that we know about. There are plenty more out there who have been worse or just absolutely ruthless individuals. They just weren't as successful at attaining fame as some of the ones we know about. Now, the sad part about this is, and most people don't think about this very often, you know, when you think of the Nazis and the bad part of Germany, what they did at that time, the atrocities that were committed. You know, Hitler wasn't micromanaging. Well, I'm sorry, he was micromanaging some things. He was probably obsessed with certain things and a micromanager at some point, to some degree. However, you can't absolve the people around him and all the people down the chain that were following orders, that were going along with this whole thing. It wasn't just Hitler. There were plenty of other people who were carrying out the orders from the top. And it wasn't just orders from the top. So when we think about this kind of thing, we have to realize, what was it that drove an entire country to the point of a frenzy to take over the world, to eradicate an entire race of individuals. What is it that lets people turn a blind eye to that, that allows that to happen or to participate in it to that degree? Children telling on their parents, reporting and turning in their parents or their grandparents, telling on their neighbors. Oh, I saw them walking around over there. They were breaking the law. They were breaking the rules. They're hiding Jews over there. And guess what? They're also, where they're hiding them, they're not wearing masks. Ooh, didn't see that one coming, huh? Yeah. We are at a state in this particular country. We're at a position. We're at a place. That same mentality is starting to rise up again. Now, if you study history at all, you will find that, and even in Scripture, the Hebrew way of thinking is that there's always this, it's a circular type of history that happens. Things happen in cycles. That among every generation, there will be a Hitler-type individual, basically. This has happened since the beginning of Jewish history. That every generation will have the same issues kind of come up with the same generation, the same challenges. And it kind of goes in a circular motion. And hopefully each time we go around, we learn something from it. And we can rise above some of those things. However, the idea is that those things will never go away. Those things will always be challenges for every generation. And so as we look at that, you know, even the children of Israel, they went around the mountain, had their opportunity, went around again. Marched around in a desert for years that wasn't that big. They could have crossed it in less than a year. They marched around for 40 years. These things are sometimes mind-boggling when you think of the amount of time that passes as all these things go on. And we read through a few pages in Scripture, and we think that it just didn't take that long. It was just a few, we just read over those kinds of things. From the time that Abraham was promised that he would have a child with Sarah, it wasn't just the next day that this happened. Years went by. Lots of years. And they have to wonder, and they wonder as they get older and older. They were old when they were promised, and then they got older and older. So we have to think in terms of real people and real life and how this actually works out and affects us. And how history will repeat itself occasionally. So I bring this up only to say this. As we listen to the media and their double speak, their ever-changing moral I don't know what you want to call it. It's not really it's a phony morality. It's not a real absolute kind of truth morality. It's a situational morality depending on who's committing the crime at the time. I hear this. This is just continually happening. It happens all the time now. The news media will say one thing about one particular individual because they're on the one side. But if somebody else on their side does it, it doesn't. It's okay. Well, that's okay. It's excusable. I hear people in media as well as some of the people like Joy Behar and The View, the individuals on there that are just absolutely ridiculous. And you have to wonder How do these people continue to function year after year in the midst of this craziness, this crazy lack of any kind of critical thinking or the ability to put thoughts together in a coherent, logical manner? Just makes no sense to me whatsoever. Yeah. So, so I say all that to say this. My thermos is almost empty. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I guess I'll have to finish the show without anything to drink. I might have, you know, because I can't go over to the refrigerator and get something to fill it up. I can't, without stopping the program here. And I hate stopping the program because I want to give it this live recorded feel. It's just a little thing I do. Yeah, sure, it's recorded, but it's live. It's a live recording. It's, you know, anything happens, it's happening in real time. Like that makes a difference to any of you. But you know, it does to me. So there you go. I've been trying to watch some news programs, some broadcasts, some stuff going on. We currently have Ukraine on the line now. We're being told every day that, you know, Russia is just about to march into Ukraine. We were told one, you know, again and again that it's imminent, and yet, you know, Putin may decide not to, but it's imminent, it's going to happen. It's just inevitable. He's piling up troops over there. Now, you have to understand, the president of Ukraine called Biden and said, "Settle down there, Jojo. Cool your jets a little bit. We're trying to work things out over here, and your rhetoric is not helping anything." That's my summation. If you want to, you know, that's the Adam Schiff version of what happened there. Actually, it was more truthful than anything Adam Schiff said. That's basically what happened. He called up and basically told him to ramp back the rhetoric because it's out of control. They were causing more problems by trying to ramp this stuff up. Now, we're also told that we're not going to send any troops into Ukraine, and yet now we're told that they are going to send troops into Ukraine, but we're not going to send any troops into Ukraine. So I don't get it. The geopolitical landscape there is very interesting, and what has happened over the years is very messed up. It's just there's a lot of things going on there. There's been polls taken that say that at least 30%. Of Ukrainians would welcome a Russian takeover. This is a problem. Now, there's another 30% that say they will fight to the death. Ukraine has a huge army. Now, whether or not they can muster up the, you know, that's, I don't think they're going to be another Taliban. I don't think they're going to be another Afghanistan army that just gives in to the Taliban. Now, my understanding is that, speaking of which, the Taliban apparently now is asking for humanitarian aid because they're suffering. I wonder why. That's pretty rich. Yeah, it's just great. Can you guys help us now? Yeah. And we'll probably send them a whole bunch of aid and a whole bunch of money. I would imagine that's probably what's going to happen now. Wouldn't be surprised. Because, you know, money grows on trees here, apparently. We just keep printing it out, sending it out, doing whatever. So speaking of Ukraine, let's get back to that whole subject. We apparently are what's the word I'm looking for here? We're in a rat's nest of confusion. General Milley got up the other day, made some statements. I thought General Milley was gone. I was glad to not have him in the news for a while. I don't know. I don't know what to say about this guy. I know that when I see this guy and hear him talk, there is a certain bad feeling. I'm just going to call it that. That I have about him. I've had these kinds of, I don't know what to call it, feelings, intuitions, some would call it discernments, about individuals in the past, and I've learned not to ignore them anymore. I used to ignore them, think, oh, you know, I gave them the benefit of the doubt. I gave them, you know, and I try to give people the benefit of the doubt. But when these kinds of, I don't know what you want to call them, word of knowledge, word of, I don't know what it is. It's very upsetting. And I don't want to believe it, even to my own to extent. And right, you know, I have in the past have not wanted to believe this kind of stuff. And yet, I see this guy, I get that, this impression, you want to call it that. And I've learned to not ignore it, because way too many times, it has proven to be accurate. It's proven to be true. And again, this guy's a problem. Much like Merrick Garland, that we now have every day. It seems like he comes out every time he speaks, makes a speech about anything. Like he's always constantly talking about how they're going to weaponize the Department of Justice and the FBI against parents and people like that, calling everybody a terrorist. One of the problems we have right now is that the Patriot Act, within boundaries, I can understand why they did it. The problem is those boundaries can easily be changed to the point where there is undue power, unreasonable power within government to do things, to label certain people terrorists, which then turns their whole legal system upside down on those people. And we wonder, maybe you don't wonder, I wonder why we have people who were arrested for something in January 6th of last year who are still in prison who have not had a trial. What happened to presumption of innocence? And what happened to a speedy trial? I don't know about you, but a year in prison, it does not seem speedy to me. And what they would say is, well, those rights don't apply to someone who is a terrorist. Oh, really? You're convicting them of terrorism? The one individual that they have gone after for insurrection, I guess now they've made an example, because everybody kept saying there's nobody's been arrested for insurrection. Well, now they've made an example of one individual, and yet we're not hearing anything about this. But you have to go back to all of his previous interviews that he's had and all the things he's said since January 6th and before January 6th. And you realize this guy's being set up. This guy's being railroaded. What they're saying about him and the things that they're saying that he did and said, the things that are on his cell phone. Do you think it's possible with the current FBI that we have, do you think it's possible that they would plant evidence on his phone, or that they would change something in his phone, or that they would lose certain information in his phone? Well, all those things have happened to other people. Oh, we just happened to lose that footage. Oh, we just happened to find this, we just changed this from a yes to a no on the warrant. On the application for the warrant, we changed this yes to a no. Because, you know, it's just a couple letters. It's just a small word. It's a two-letter word. Instead of a three-letter word, we just changed it to a two-letter word. Just cut down on our space. The FBI has done these kinds of things. There were plenty of people up high ups in the FBI who committed plenty of crimes prior to the 2016 and after the 2016 election. And they're still working, by the way, for the FBI. Many of them are. There were some individuals that had to resign. They were just asked to resign. They really should have been prosecuted. Much like Anthony Fauci. I don't know how much more evidence you need against Anthony Fauci. That guy needs to be in prison. He should be in prison. You cannot look at the emails that he was sending around 2020, early 2020, into all the way into 2020, into the fall, and still yet some since then. You can't look at those and think that this guy was on the up and up. This guy was lying to the American people. He's lied to Congress and then denied that he's lied to Congress. He lied to the American, you know, this whole thing about him having to lie in order to save the first responders and those working so that there was plenty of masks for them because he didn't want people to, I wanted to protect them so they had plenty of masks for them, for the PPE for that they needed. He's trying to get those people on his side is what he's trying to do. Well, see, the problem is that he lied, supposedly, that he lied during that time. Now, he was actually basing his, there was a really, really good, I could probably take some clips from the Jimmy Dore show. He recently did an extremely good show. Now, Jimmy Dore is not someone that I would politically agree with on a lot of things, but he's a truth seeker. Now, I've seen this happen before. I've seen people in his position who are seeking the truth. Now, I don't know how the guy stays on YouTube because the stuff, this last show, I'm surprised YouTube let him even post it. Because it's pretty condemning. The guests that he has on and the things that he's saying about this whole vaccine thing and what's happened with the way the bureaucrats, Anthony Fauci especially, have manipulated the public and done the things that they've done. You know, he's a truth. Jimmy Dore is a truth seeker. He's out there looking, and I can't. You know, the direction that he's moving. I've seen people do this before. H.A. Goodman was one of these people. H.A. Goodman was a Bernie supporter. He has become much more of a conservative. In fact, I would say a conservative libertarian, which I think is the true nature. And even Ronald Reagan said it. I think best. He said libertarianism is the heart of Republicanism. And I think that that's the, now, you know, Ron Paul worked for Ronald Reagan. Ron Paul considers himself a conservative libertarian. I think that's, if I had to put myself in a box, that's probably the pigeonhole I would put myself in. I don't like the establishment Republican Party. However, I don't align with the political party that calls themselves libertarians either. I kind of have my own, and this is the case with most libertarians. They have their own definition of what it is. But I think I definitely align with being a conservative. Small government, localized government, not federalized, centralized government, or I should say centralized government, not big government. People doing what they need to do to take care of their own communities. Centralized government with this idea that we're going to have one place establishing policy for an entire nation. We saw how that worked out with COVID because, you know, you've got places that are spiking, places that are, you know, really ramping up and having issues, and the rest of the country doesn't, and you're trying to apply a blanket policy for the entire country when there's no outbreak in some areas. This is the problem with centralized government. If we can localize it and make it work for those communities, that works much better. So it's this whole idea that these bureaucrats think that they're going to take over and just make these decisions because they live in this bubble. They live in this little world of their own where they think that they can figure out for themselves, that they know what's going on out there in America because they watch their televisions. And really, all they really know is what's going on in the East Coast and the West Coast in the big cities, in New York and L.A. It's kind of where they do their thing. Then you got, now Newsom is again in the hot seat in the news because he's recently taking pictures with Magic Johnson, in a stadium where they were supposed to be wearing masks all the time. And they took their masks off for the pictures, supposedly. These are the elites. These are the people who make the rules, but they don't have to live by them. Oh, I'm sorry. Oops, oh, I'm sorry. This is what happened. Yeah. Oh, I was just getting my hair done. They set me up. Oh, we're all at the restaurant. I knew it wasn't right, but, you know, we felt uncomfortable. We wanted to leave, but we didn't. Okay. That's how that works. Yeah, try that the next time you get pulled over for speeding. Well, you know, I knew it was wrong, but everybody else was speeding, so I thought I could speed too, so that's what I did. Oh, okay, well, then that's all right. Go on. These people just, they think that they can just weasel out, and they do, they weasel out of anything. But Jimmy Dore did this program, and he had these two guys on that were really good, and one of the things that they were talking about was how Anthony Fauci actually didn't lie the first time he talked about the masks, and this is the thing, is if he lied the first, was he lying the first time or the second time? When he told us that we had to wear a mask and wear two masks. And Jimmy actually made the statement, this is something I've said before. I'm wondering how much money Fauci has invested in mask-making companies. Because now all of a sudden he's pushing the mask. Everybody is. Everybody seems to think that this magic mask, if you're not wearing it, you're killing everybody around you. And let's face it, folks, these cloth masks, and they finally started to come out and say, yeah, these cloth masks aren't really effective. Oh, but you were forcing them on everybody a year ago. Making it sound like if it was a terrible thing if nobody wasn't wearing a mask. They still do. People are so paranoid and so hypersensitive and actually just hysterical over this whole thing. It's actually mass hysteria, in my opinion. The whole mask thing. The science behind it is, and this, the one thing that this guy was saying was, well, all of the reports up until 2020, the best science we had on communicable diseases like this, like the flu and things that were airborne and aerosolized, that masks were almost totally ineffective against those kinds of viruses. And COVID was one of those. And that's what he was quoting, was that it's not going to be very helpful. Everybody shouldn't be running around wearing masks. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Stay apart. You know, stay as far away as you can from people. I see this all the time. I see people wearing masks, hugging each other and getting close and talking in each other's face. But because they got that mask on, folks, the stuff's, if there is any kind of vapor getting through that mask or around the mask, if you can smell the other person's breath, the virus can be in that. That's how tiny we're talking about when it comes to the viral load in the nasal thorax or whatever it's called. Now, some good news. And now for some good news. Dr. Campbell was on yesterday. I was listening to something he was putting out there. And again, he's talking more and more about how he's talking now about the different strains of Omicron. Because Omicron has taken over to such a degree, he's not even talking about Delta anymore. Delta is so rare now, and it's on its way out to the point where Omicron has taken over and literally is the dominant strain, and it is extremely good with its antibodies. And one of the things that the Jimmy Dore show was talking about was how this guy said, for, you know, we've known about natural immunity for 2,000 years. And somehow all of a sudden natural immunity was laughed at, poo-pooed, dismissed by the heads of all these bureaucrats like Anthony Fauci and some others. All of a sudden, it was just like, it's all about the vaccine. You have to have the vaccine. People who knew better were saying, oh, yes, the vaccine's much more effective than natural immunity. It's been known by high school biology. We learned that natural immunity to a virus, to a disease, is better than any kind of vaccine that people can make. And for some reason, it was just openly embraced that the vaccine was better than natural immunity, right out of the box. This was, I was hearing many people that I would have thought knew better. And now we're finding out that the natural immunity, if you've, you know, if you had COVID, it was much better at defending against getting COVID again for a longer period of time on a wider breadth of variants. When Delta came along, those who had COVID initially, Delta actually really was, they were pretty much immune from Delta. Now, Omicron was not. Omicron was a subvariant. It was very different. And natural immunity did not protect as well against Omicron. People got it. Now, here's the problem. If you had, now they're saying, oh, if you're doubly shot, it doesn't do anything. There's a lady just listening to her the other day from another country, a bureaucrat up there saying, well, if you've had the two shots, it does absolutely nothing for you. You have to get the booster in order to fight Omicron. Totally misinformed, totally ignorant in the truth and the actual numbers on this thing. The booster, in fact, the studies that have been done was that if you had two shots, you were twice as likely to get Omicron as someone who had one shot. If you had three shots, you were three times as likely to get Omicron. The booster was not helping. It was actually increasing the rate. People who had been doubly, well, it's just triple vaxxed is what it is. It's not, you don't get the two shots and then you get the booster. There's no booster. It's just a third shot. It's the same virus. It's the same vaccine. They don't have a little bottle that says booster on it. It's the same dose. It's just getting another dose. And of course, these they're finding now that, you know, the fourth one's not. Israel started making the case for the fourth shot, and then they changed their data and said, no, the fourth shot's not helping at all. It's not doing anything, especially against Omicron. Now, Omicron is just a very different thing, and here's the cool thing about this whole thing. If you have had Omicron, your natural immunity is now extremely high against any variants, whether it's Omicron variants, Delta, or even the original strain. So that's where we're at with this now. The disinformation is still out there. People will quote information or put up information directly from the CDC, and they will get their videos taken down. They will get labeled as misinformation or incorrect, non-factual information, fact-checked, false, with information directly from the CDC or the World Health Organization. That's how ridiculous this has gotten. And again, it all comes down to that whole opinion thing. So that's what's happening out there in La La Land. The good news is it looks as if there is going to be, I mean, we're in first part of February right now, like at end of January. We've got February. It looks from all reports that I've heard at this point that by the end of February, they're going to be saying that this thing's over with. And it's an election year. The Democrats want to have a victory here. The whole Ukraine thing, I'm convinced, is a distraction, basically, from just to distract everybody from the craziness that's going on in the White House and all everything that's happening on the border. Recently, there was a big pushback from a bunch of border agents with their boss. That exchange was actually very telling. They're upset. Their bosses tell them, you signed up for this. Do your job. Do your mission. They didn't sign up for this. They took an oath to uphold the Constitution. Not this craziness. So as we continue to go on with this, the Democrats need a victory here over COVID. We were told they were going to crush the virus. They're really concerned about the midterms. And I guarantee you, right now they are sweating. So they're going to try to eliminate all this vaccine stuff, the passports and all the limitations, because they know people are getting weary of it. God bless everybody. Have a great evening.